My name is Hale Breedy, and I'm actually delivering this talk on behalf of the World Bank's Vice President for Africa, Makhtar Diop, who had a knee injury just before coming here and regrettably could not be with us in person today. He sends his warm greetings, and I know many of you know him, and he's very, very sad that he can't be here with you today. So a warm welcome to all of you to the sixth TICAD conference, the first of its kind to be held on African soil. As many of you know, the purpose of TICAD is to promote a high-level policy dialogue between African leaders and their partners and mobilize support for African-owned development initiatives. Our purpose in convening in this session on the future of food in sub-Saharan Africa is to catalyze a forward-looking dialogue about the important role that agriculture and food sectors can play in advancing the overall TICAD agenda and helping countries achieve their sustainable development goals. I would also like to place on record our collective gratitude to the government of Japan for its pioneering and sustained role in promoting sustainable agriculture and food security on the African continent, notably through the provision of PHRD Trust Fund. Through its contribution to the private sector window of the Global Agriculture and Food Security Program, or GAFSP, and through enhanced collaboration under the framework of the Bank JICA high-level dialogue since 2014. The PHRD Trust Fund consists of $100 million for the rice sector in Africa at TICAD 4 and $20 million additional for nutrition at TICAD 5. These support from the Japanese have really helped move this agenda forward, both on rice and on nutrition in sub-Saharan Africa. We are very grateful to the Japanese government for this contribution. Needless to say that food is fundamental for human life. The food system provides the energy and nutrients people need to advance economically and socially. At the World Bank, our vision for the food system is one where every person is fed every day, everywhere, with a safe, nutritious, and affordable diet delivered in a sustainable way. Yet we know that about 800 million people still go to bed hungry every day. In sub-Saharan Africa, 220 million people, one in four Africans, are chronically undernourished. Furthermore, child stunting is unacceptably high in sub-Saharan Africa. Globally, 165 million children under five are stunted. While other regions have seen a drastic reduction in stunting levels, child stunting in Africa has unfortunately risen by 23% since 1990. In Africa, 58 million children under five are stunted. That's 32% of all children under 5 years old. This is unacceptable. At the same time, over 2 billion people are overweight or obese, two-thirds of whom live in developing countries. Obesity could become a major issue in Africa, where close to 11 million children under the age of five are already overweight and obese. So this issue, contrary to what one may think, is not just a problem restricted to industrialized countries. Climate change and agriculture are inextricably linked. Droughts, floods, and rising temperatures are cutting crop yields, threatening food, fish, and meat supply, and pushing poor people deeper into poverty. Agriculture and land use changes contribute 25% of greenhouse emissions. Without collective action, this number is only going to rise. Finally, contaminated, unsafe food also exacts a heavy toll on people and economies. Africa has the highest rate of foodborne diseases, with more than 91 million Africans falling ill after eating contaminated food every year. When poor people fall sick, they also tend to lose jobs, livelihoods, and household assets, losses that push them deeper into poverty. Friends and colleagues, as this brief tour of the horizon shows, a vibrant, sustainable, and resilient agriculture sector is vital for sub-Saharan Africa, for its economic future, and for feeding its growing population. Farming is the primary source of food and income for Africans and provides up to 60% of all jobs on the continent. Agriculture can and must play a bigger role in helping countries reach their development targets, improve the lives of everyday citizens, and protect the environment of which all life depends. Fortunately, Sub-Saharan Africa's agriculture and food sectors stand at the cusp of a transformational change. Food production in Sub-Saharan Africa needs to increase by 60% over the next 15 years to feed a growing population. Africa's food and beverage markets are buoyant and expected to top $1 trillion in value by 2030. I believe the Kenyan minister was talking about how much money you can make in agribusiness. This number proves your point, Mr. Minister. At 200 million hectares, sub-Saharan Africa is home to nearly half of the world's uncultivated land that can be brought into production. Africa uses only 2% of its renewable water sources compared to 5% globally, so the potential is enormous. Together with abundant people resources, including a resourceful, enterprising youth population, strategic investments in agriculture can unleash a virtual growth cycle for Africa. But how do we get there? How do we get to such growth? First, African farmers need new technology. I believe, again, the minister was alluding to that. Higher yielding, more resilient food crops that deliver bountiful harvests and have a lower ecological footprint. There is good news from Côte d'Ivoire, where Ivorian farmers have achieved 3 tons per hectare in cereal yields. This success story needs to be replicated across the continent's production landscapes. In this regard, I'm very pleased that we will be hearing from the CGIAR, the Alliance for the African Green Revolution, AGRA, and the African Development Bank about their plans to support an agriculture-led transformation of sub-Saharan Africa. Second, African farmers need more electricity, more irrigation, and better infrastructure that links them to lucrative regional food markets. Third, we need sound policies that do not discriminate against the farm sector. Women produce the bulk of food in Africa and yet are largely locked out of land ownership, access to credit, and productive farm inputs like fertilizers, pesticides, and farming tools, and are bypassed by extension services. Policy reforms will also be critical to address tough political economy issues such as land tenure. Uncertainty around property rights can be a disincentive to invest in fertilizer, fallowing, irrigation, and other techniques to improve yields. Ladies and gentlemen, as a major financier of sustainable agriculture projects across the developing world, and through our support for large, impactful partnerships such as GAFSP and the CGIAR, the World Bank is committed to supporting sustainable agriculture for ending poverty and boosting shared prosperity on the African continent. Our portfolio is large and growing. World Bank lending to agriculture in Africa totaled $743 million in our last fiscal year. It's projected to rise almost double to $1.4 billion this year. We will also focus on tackling climate shocks and blunting climate change impacts on Africa's food production environments. In December 2015, at the Paris Climate Talks, COP21, the World Bank unveiled a bold new plan that calls for $16 billion in funding to help African people and countries adapt to climate change and build up the continent's resilience to climate shocks, including a focus on climate-smart agriculture and supporting the vision for accelerated agricultural transformation of the Malabo Declaration. As countries gear up for the next meeting of the Climate Change Convention, the COP22 in Morocco, agriculture can and must become a greater part of the solution for climate change. As policymakers struggle to accelerate growth and tackle prevailing headwinds, it is worth noting that the agricultural sector has been shown to be 2 to 4 times more effective in raising incomes among the poorest people than other sectors. That, again, is a point the minister made a few minutes earlier. The gains from agriculture are much bigger than in any other sector. Banking on African agriculture and boosting investments in Africa's agriculture and food sectors is an idea whose time has come. It's truly time to transform agriculture and the food systems in Africa so that it can sustainably feed all Africans. During this afternoon's technical workshop, you'll hear about a multi-sector effort the bank is undertaking to help build a sustainable food system for Africa. We're also fortunate to have the opportunity to hear from partners such as JICA, the African Development Bank, FAO, IFAD, NEPAD, USAID, UNEP, the Japan International Research Center for International Scientists, AGRA, and Africa Rice, as well as pioneering agriculture ministers from Rwanda and Sierra Leone, who are advancing efforts in this direction. We'd also like to acknowledge the contribution of other partners, such as the African Union and the Economic Commission for Africa. I wish you a successful event and hope that together with the government of Japan's strong support, we can successfully tackle the new range of agriculture and food-related challenges and end hunger and boost shared prosperity in our lifetimes for sub-Saharan Africa. Thank you. Thanks.